We'll be reading Psalm 127 and singing to others in the same vein. Yesterday afternoon, I was informed that we would not be having an infant baptism today as we had planned due to unforeseen circumstances. It's like driving down a road at 90 miles an hour and suddenly the road disappears and phoom, you're in midair. What do you do? Crash and burn. So I was committed. My heart, mind were on this track, and I felt like I had a baby ripped out of my arms and Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted. That's a little bit over the top. It's not that degree, but it is that kind. I'm grieving. I'm grieving for myself as a preacher that I don't have the sacrament to give you. And I grieve for you as a congregation that you have been deprived that joy, at least at present. So I'm not apologizing, but I am sorry. I'm sorry. And so we'll be reflecting on these things, not with anticipation of joy, but with kind of a poignant sadness and with prayer that we will see this soon, right? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have comforted us with the truth that though in this world we have tribulation and sorrow, that we should not be overcome by it because you have overcome the world, and we have and will surely have joy in you. So please comfort us as we consider these things. Give us a genuine hope, confident expectation of your goodness that we will see this blessing soon, and that you would use this meditation, consideration of your word, to prepare us in our current barrenness to anticipate and be prepared for joy when you appoint that for us. Please bless the preaching and hearing, the believing and doing of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 127, hear God's word. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. So when I have a Bible study and I'm not preaching out of that background, I look around in God's providence and say, what's the Lord doing? Well, this week we had the Young Life Banquet. We had planned on an infant baptism, and it's the month of Thanksgiving. So giving thanks for children seemed to be a suitable topic. So that's why we're doing this at this time. I would like to read a statement so you know where I'm going and how these things will fit in with that. There is no greater honor for mankind than to bear and raise individuals who bear the image of God, including the form of that image from their parents. Why raise a mere company or a career when you can raise those who bear the image of God? Even males can have a job, but only females are equipped to conceive, carry, bear, and nurse images of God. The real war against women is deceiving them that bearing and raising children is a waste of their lives, when in fact it is the highest honor that God has given to mankind. a society destroys itself when it encourages women to forsake motherhood by indefinite prevention and postponement of conception, aborting their children in their womb, and neglecting their children in their home. Consequently, there is no greater honor for the male than to support his wife as the mother of their children. And the best thing that a father can do for his children is to love and support their mother in her caring for their children. That's where we're going, and this is how we get there. Observations of children in the Bible. As is my inclination, I always want to be comprehensive, you know, cover everything the Bible has to say about children. Well, I gave that up after about 15 minutes. I mean, it's crazy. So I just those things that struck me particularly this time around. And these are reasons why we should be thankful for our children. This is the month of Thanksgiving, the seasons of harvest and Thanksgiving. And one of the things we should be the most thankful for are our kids, our children. And the first and foremost reason is that our children, unlike everything else in creation, are created in the image of God. There is nothing else in all creation more valuable than a human being. And that's why we should give thanks for our children. God created man in his image, male and female created he them. In Romans 1, when Paul talks about men creating, making idols to represent God and creating an idol in the form of a man, or an idol in the form of a four-footed beast. You know, when man creates an image of God out of stone or wood, it's not just an insult to God, it's an insult to us. Idols are not the image of God, we are the image of God. And it is an insult to us, we insult ourselves when we create idols with wood or stone or vain ideas and philosophies. The value of children does not depend on their stage of development. We aren't without value before birth, and we don't lose our value in old age. From the moment of conception to the moment of death, every human being is the image of God. And what stage they may happen to be at, or whether they're healthy or not, wealthy or not, it doesn't matter stage or condition. The value of children for which we give thanks is that they are made in the image of God. There is nothing more valuable than a human being, and nothing for which we must give thanks more than our children. Children are a gift from God. And when something is a gift, you ask for it, and when you receive it, you give thanks for it, and after you've given thanks, you take good care of it. The next consideration is that the value of children is manifest by the love that their parents have for them. In 1 John 3, verse 1, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are." God's love for us, his great love, he loves us, and the way that he shows his love for us is by making us his children. And God's love for us manifests the value that he puts on us. And if God the Father loves us and recognizes, gives us that value, then surely every parent, every father should recognize the value of his children by loving them. This is, if anything, enhanced by the fact that we forfeited our natural sonship. We forfeited that natural occasion for God to love us and be thankful for it by our sin. And we were cast out of the garden, we were exiled, we were disowned. We were no longer children. We're no longer children of God by nature. But God, in his great love for us, came and got us and restored us to the place of children, adopted us back as his own children. And that manifests the value of human beings and the value of children. And it also encourages us in our struggles with our own kids that when, by degree or in whole, we must disown our children and discipline them, it's a matter of degree or entirely, it's not over. We give thanks and we pursue them in imitation of God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, 4 and 5. In love, he predestined us to adoption. He valued us so much. The value that he gave us in creation and in his eternal plan to redeem us. That value is what we are to give thanks for with our own kids. I think there's instruction here as well regarding situations of adoption. There's often the temptation to devalue adopted children as opposed to natural children. But God doesn't devalue adopted children. We're all adopted. He gave his own son to adopt us. And we need to treat our adopted children as well as God treats his adopted children. There is no difference in the value of a child between natural birth or adoption. It's the same. And we need to give thanks for our naturally born children, and we need to give thanks for adopted children and love them each and all fully. And there are too many examples in the Christian church of parents with adopted children who do not love them. And it is godless. It is repudiation of their own adoption. Well, the joy of children often turns into sorrow. Cain murdered Abel, and the joy of birth was taken. Job lost his first set of children, and joy was turned into sorrow. Children get sick. They are rebellious. There is great risk in bearing children. There is great reward. There is great privilege. There is great duty. But the disappointment that parents have with their children do not say anything about their value. The value is the same. A gold coin that falls in the mud is still a gold coin. And our children, when they fall into sin, are still our children, and they're still made in the image of God. And even when our joys turn into sorrow, we must still value our children and love them and give thanks for them. But God also turned sorrow into joy. When Cain killed Abel, God gave Eve Seth. And it's a very strange thing that it is a commonplace of godly women that they are barren. Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Hannah, Elizabeth, all barren women. When children are of such value and such a great gift, why would God make godly women barren? Why would he make them wait? When you have to wait for something, don't you appreciate it a little bit more? You do have to be careful what you pray for, though. My parents waited 7 years to have a child. Be careful what you pray for. We're singing from Psalm 113, and this is God's grace. He makes the barren woman a mother. And there's a parallel between princes on their throne and women with their children. That's the value of children. That's the honor that mothers have because of the value of children for which they pray and give thanks. In John 16, a really beautiful statement. John 16, 21. Whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that a child has been born into the world, or literally a joy that a human being. The joy is over what this child is, the image of God. And there is no greater honor to mankind than that. Now, speaking about the pain of labor, I've always appreciated Carol Burnett's efforts to help men understand the pain of labor. It sounds like most of you know. She said, take your hand and grab the top lip and then pull it over your head. It's very painful. And so if labor is that painful and joy makes you forget all about it, how good is it to bear a child? Next item is Genesis 22. We're just reading this Saturday morning. This, of course, is Abraham being called to yield his son, his only son. And it's very striking language, and the Jews and the Christians just labor over this to try to understand it, and it's beyond comprehension. It says, Abraham, and Abraham says, here I am. Here I am is the Hebrew equivalent of the idiomatic, what's up? He said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will tell you. That this is the ultimate test of Abraham's faith, giving his only begotten son, whom he loves. That is the ultimate test, and it's on this that he gave his son to God, and through that God blesses him. But this is the ultimate test. Indicates is a way of understanding the value of children. God makes the requirement that we give him our children the ultimate test that we trust him. We give him our lives, our health, our estates, anything else. But the only child that you have? Are you going to trust him with that? It seems to me it's an interesting way to think about the parable of the prodigal son. What did God ask from that father with the prodigal son? Give me your son, your only son, whom you love. And the prodigal son's father gave him, let him go. And that is an ultimate test of faith. Helps us understand the value of children to us and to God. Many of us have been or will be, or even were case studies of situations where God brings the children of believers into a very bad place. It looks like for all the world that God is going to kill them. He's going to destroy them. And if you're in that place, God is testing your faith. Do you trust God to take care of your kids? Or are you going to try to take it all into your own control and manipulate your kids into doing what you want them to do, doing what they should do, doing what's in their own best interest? And we all wrestle with that, but the reason we wrestle with it is that these kids are of infinite value. We, for the same reason that we grieve their sin, we should thank God for their being. It's the same weight in different considerations. Another reason to thank God for children, IMF, is protection and provision. Children are a gift of the Lord, we read in Psalm 127. But it comes to the end, And the reason is that when we're in a wheelchair, we need somebody else to carry the rifle. You know, we provide and protect our children as they grow up, and then they come into their own, and we're in a place where we need their help. And one of the reasons to give thanks to God is that our children are our social security. Now, that's becoming problematic because we don't have enough children to pay into the social security. But in terms of our own children in our own situation, we take care of our parents. And for all of us my age who are taking care of elderly parents, be faithful in it because you're setting an example for your own kids. Your kids are going to treat you just like you treat your mother. So be good. Be good. And conversely, you cannot expect your children to treat you any better than you treated your parents in their old age. But one of the reasons we thank God for our kids is that it is God's plan for our protection and provision in old age. So take care of your parents and take care of your kids. I often encourage people with the children running around, and people get impatient with noisy kids. And I sometimes will say, treat them nicely because they're going to be pushing your wheelchair someday, and then we just push you right off the cliff. Another consideration is Jesus as a child. And obviously, there's so many things to observe about this. But one thing is that everywhere Jesus went, he was making people happy. Children are little bundles of joy. Yes, they're little bundles of depravity, yes, because of their condition and state. But by their created nature, they are bundles of joy. And everywhere Jesus went, he brought joy. And we should give thanks for the joy that God gives us in our children. Now, you know I'm a new grandfather, so I'm over the moon, and you have to just put up with me for a while. But I see pictures of my granddaughter, and she is blessed with my daughter-in-law's smile, not my son's smirk. And you look at her face, and there's joy in this little baby, 2 months old. And it gives joy. It just makes you smile, and it lifts your spirit automatically. And we should give thanks for it. We get so cynical in our old age and all the things that we've gone through. And we become bitter. But these children, they don't know any better. And it's a blessing for them and for us in their childish innocence. And we should enjoy that. It should remind us of our own youth. And we should give thanks for it. So, just to quickly review this for you. In Luke 1:44, Mary comes to Elizabeth, and they're both expecting Elizabeth, of course, John the Baptist, Mary with Jesus. And she said, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. Now, not many of us have been other people in utero joy when we were in utero, but this is rather striking that John the Baptist rejoiced in the presence of Jesus. Now, it's Jesus, I understand that, but it's Jesus as a child. Verse 46, Mary says, my soul exalts in the Lord. Jesus gave joy to John the Baptist and his mother. Jesus gave joy to his mother. In chapter 2, verse 10, do not be afraid, she says, the angel says to the shepherds, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. Think of John 16 again, for joy that a image of God has come into the world. There's joy in Jesus, but in Jesus as a child and in children in general. In verse 28, they bring Jesus in for circumcision, and Simeon takes Jesus into his arms and blessed God and said, In verse 38, with Anna, she came up and began giving thanks to God for the Savior, but the Savior who doesn't come in as a full-grown man, could have done that, but comes in as a child. And the joy of the Savior's arrival as a child. Verse 47, all who heard him, this is in the temple when he's 12 years old, all who heard him were amazed at his understanding his answers. Okay, they were amazed, but put yourself in the place of those teachers. If you're teaching a Bible study, and some 12-year-old kid comes to the Bible study and asks the amazing, most amazing questions and gives the most amazing answers, would you be just amazed? Wouldn't you be thrilled that a kid would even care about that? Would even know about that? Jesus didn't just amaze the teachers. He gave them joy. And that is true of children. And the summary statement at the end of chapter 2, Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus, as a child and young man, gave joy to all that he met. And we should give thanks for that as we have a portion of that in our own children. The last consideration is Jesus not only as a child but with children. And of course, these are infamous situations. Now, Jesus was not a youth pastor. He didn't spend all his time with kids. And when he dealt with children, he dealt with them as an occasion to teach their parents how to be like them and how to take care of them. Jesus primarily blessed children by helping their parents. He wasn't a youth pastor. So don't misapply this. Matthew 19, 13 following, children were brought to him so that he might lay hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. And Jesus said, let the children alone. Basically, cut it out. It was a pretty strong rebuke. Don't keep them from coming to me. If some child wants to come to my Bible study, I will give them a padded chair. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Jesus valued children. He valued particularly their implicit trust out of necessity, but also out of nature, in those who were around them and cared for them. And he instructs us to be like them. In Mark 9:33, came to Capernaum. This is a situation where the apostles were arguing with each other about who was the greatest. And so he takes a child and he sets the child before them. Now you might think that you need to humble yourself to be like a child. And that certainly is not true, but that's not his point here. The point here is, taking a child, he set them before them, and taking him in his arms. He was always doing that, taking children into his arms. Whoever receives one child like this, and that's an illustration of his point that in order to be first, you must be the servant of all. The point in this situation is that we need to humble ourselves to serve children. Not here to be like children in faith, but to be humble ourselves to serve children. Now, all of us are serving children of various ages. There is immaturity at 40, or 50, or 60. As mothers and parents, you care for your children. As elders, they care for you as children. And as you humble yourself from glorious pursuits in order to care for children, your elders humble themselves to care for people who are constantly disappointing them. The challenge of the eldership is not primarily intellectual or physical or even spiritual. One of the primary challenges of the eldership is emotional. Children suck the life out of their parents. And believers suck the life out of their elders. And it always seems to happen on a Saturday afternoon. And so the calling is to humble ourselves and to serve those who are weak and immature and will hurt us and suck the life out of us. Not get angry. Not yield to the temptation to vengeance. But to value them for who they are created to be, who they are recreated in Christ, and to love them until they just won't let you love them anymore. Many of Jesus' miracles were with children, the daughter of the Canaanite woman, the daughter of Jairus, and the son of the widow of Nain. He dealt generously with these children. But why? For the sake of their parents. And that's a great encouragement to us. Some observations. First of all, give thanks for our precious children. There is nothing more valuable than our children, and we should give thanks for them and steward them diligently. Secondly, just to reiterate the point, humble yourself to serve our children. It is such a deception, and it is such a fatal error to think that our children aren't worth our time. You know, go into politics, go into this, that, or the other thing, and just leave your children behind. It is destructive of them, of you, and of the church, and of the society. Humble yourselves to serve our children. Thirdly, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Now, I have a word for some of you. You don't have to do this all by yourself. I appreciate, value, and praise God for large families, and I'm not discouraging that. But this is a calling that we all have. This is a general commandment. This is the first commandment from God. Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it by bearing children. So you have male and female, they become one flesh, and the expression of one flesh is children. We subdue the earth by bearing children, bearing and raising children. And that's a command that falls on all of us. Now, because of the fall, God may call you to singleness and give you the gifts and calling to serve in other ways. Singleness is not the call of God to indulge yourself. You're free from marriage, so you can do whatever you want. You're free from kids, so you can do whatever you want. No. You're free from marriage and children in order to humble yourself to serve in a different way, 1 Corinthians 7. But the general calling of all of us, unless we have a special calling, is to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. There is nothing more important than that. Fourth, pray and thank. Children are a gift of the Lord, so pray for children that God would grant them to you, and thank the Lord when he gives them. Isaac prayed for Rebekah, and Eve gave thanks for Seth. Think of Hannah. She intensified her prayers with, if you will give me a son, I will give him to you. And it's very interesting to observe that it seems that many in the pastoral ministry are the sons of their mother's vows. Just reading a memoir recently, and this was the case with this individual who's a theologian. I mean, commit yourself to kids. This is what we're doing in baptism. We have a responsibility by the simple gift of children. But in baptism, we are confessing that duty and committing ourselves to it in an explicit way. And that is a responsibility that we have as parents. And then, item F, we have the responsibility to invest in our kids. You can't raise kids cheaply. There is no way to do it. There aren't any coupons. There aren't any sales. There aren't any shortcuts. If you're going to bear children, you're going to die in childbirth sooner or later. Your kids will kill you. They will suck the life out of you. And that's just the nature. You think of a plant. A plant grows, it bears fruit, and it gives everything it has into the seeds. And the fruits dry up and drop the seed because everything goes into generating that seed. And that's what we're called to as parents. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. And give our lives to equip our kids. The investment is in the nature of instruction and discipline. Teach them to learn to do what is right and teach them to learn not to do what is wrong, to learn what is true and believe it, to learn what is right and do it, to learn what is false and reject it, to learn what is wrong and abhor it. There are some pretty severe warnings against perversion in this. In Ephesians 6, fathers, which represents mother and father, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. There is a temptation to be impatient with our kids and to demand immediate and full obedience. And when we don't get it, we abuse them. And we're warned against that self-indulgence. Do not provoke your children to anger by expecting too much too soon without any help from you. Colossians 3:21, same warning. Do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. There is nothing more crushing to a child than being always unable to satisfy their parents. It doesn't matter what you do, it's never good enough. You could always have done better. And it crushes the spirit of a child. And that is not thankful. That is not good stewardship. Encourage your children, but make your expectations reasonable and accommodating to their ability and their stage in life. Give thanks for them, and in your thanksgiving, treat them well and wisely. Item G, not all of us have children, and many of us don't have children in our homes anymore, but there is a calling to be fruitful and multiply that has many ramifications and extrapolations. And one is foster care and adoption. Be fruitful and multiply. Another way to do it is to take care of someone else's child in foster care. One example in the Bible is Eli working with Samuel. This kid, this wasn't his kid. This woman comes and dumps this kid on him. What am I going to do with this kid? And Eli was a foster parent for Samuel. And sadly, in some ways, he did a lot better job with the foster kid than he did with his own kids. Of course, the foster kid was a lot better kid than his own kids as well. And so one way that we can give thanks for children is by foster care. And then with that also adoption. Again, going back to the fact that God has adopted us back into sonship through Christ. And it is a wonderful way to give thanks for our children by adopting those who are orphans. There are many in our community, the Christian community, that are doing this. It's a particular calling. And it is a wonderful calling. It is one way of giving thanks for our children. Another way, item H, is evangelism and discipleship. What is evangelism but bearing children in new birth? What is discipleship but rearing children in the faith? In Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, Paul says, "My children with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you." Paul's apostolic and pastoral ministry was bearing and rearing children in Christ. And that is part of it. And you as elders need to give thanks to God for the children that God has given you. Your work as elders is parenting. And a lot of times it can be difficult to give thanks for difficult children. But they're still children made in the image of God, redeemed by the blood of Christ. And so we must give thanks and do this hard work. Paul and Timothy, of course, Paul says to Timothy, "My son." Timothy was Paul's adopted son. Somebody else apparently did the evangelism, but Paul was doing the lion's share of the discipleship and the mentoring into the pastoral ministry. There are many ways in which we are called to give thanks for the children that God has given us. Our natural children, foster care children, adopted children, evangelism and discipleship. Examine yourself. Are you barren? Do you have any children? If you don't, be like Rachel. I will die unless God gives me children. I will die unless God uses me to bring somebody to faith that I can hold in my arms and raise in the gospel. Parenting, we all are called to parenting in some fashion. Your own children, somebody else's children, spiritual children. Who do you have? Who has God given to you? You must have someone. Who are you evangelizing? Who are you discipling? Seek children, give thanks for children, and care for children. Adam, I trust God as a child, especially for your children. We trust God because of what we know. He has redeemed us. But because of that also, we trust him for what we cannot comprehend. A child has a good reason to trust their parents, but they trust their parents far beyond what they can comprehend. And that's what Jesus means when he says the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Those who have a good reason to trust, and yet trust beyond anything that they can explain. Lastly, be trustworthy like God for your children. Paul says in Ephesians 4, do not lie to one another. That is particularly true with your children. Don't lie to your children. Don't make promises to your kids that you don't keep. If your children are going to trust God, you have to show yourself trustworthy to them. You have to be an example of that. There is no greater honor for mankind than to bear and raise individuals who bear the image of God, including the form of that image from their parents. Why raise a mere company or a career when you can raise those who bear the image of God? Even males can have a job, but only females are equipped to conceive, carry, bear, and nurse images of God. The real war against women is deceiving them that bearing and raising children is a waste of their time, when in fact it is the highest honor that God has given to mankind. A society destroys itself when it encourages women to forsake motherhood by indefinite prevention and postponement of conception, aborting their children in their womb, and neglecting them in their home. Consequently, there is no greater honor for the male than to support his wife as the mother of their children, and the best thing that a father can do for his children is to love and support their mother in her caring for their children. Children are a gift from the Lord, infinitely precious as those who bear the image of God and our own form of that image. Bearing and raising them with a credible example, diligent instruction, and compassionate discipline is a humbling duty and a glorious privilege. Let us thank God often and earnestly for our children. Let us devote ourselves to providing them with regular and generous portions of all the means of grace so that they will be saved and so that they will bear the fruit of the Spirit for their good, our good, and above all, for the glory of God. Let us pray. Lord, in this season of thanksgiving, we pray that you will move us to give thanks for those things that are the most precious among all created things. We thank you for the many pleasant things that you have given us in this life, the many pleasant experiences. But we do confess that children are a gift from you, and they are above all things most precious. Lord, please stir us up. Please stir us up to pray that you would give us children, to thank you for the children that you have given us, and to give our lives for the good and well-being of these children. Lord, please comfort us in our disappointment today, but grant that we would have the joy of seeing children born into the world and born into the kingdom frequently. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.